SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday the 13th. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, SteveBick.com, Friday the 13th. I got my Colgate mug because, you know, Colgate 13, they're intertwined. We call them Colgate days on the Colgate calendar right there. They got the 13th in maroon. If you don't know the backstory, look it up. It's, Colgate and 13 have a certain fascinating tie-in. A mid-month weekend that really focuses on Churchill's opening and the two-year-olds and up at Woodbine. The Woodbine Mile, and not just the Woodbine Mile. The more I looked, the more excited I got about Sunday's card at Woodbine with the Summer and the Natalma. So there's plenty to look forward to, and with Churchill opening today, Kentucky Downs in the rearview mirror, literally for Hammer, who's driving, who's on his way maybe at this hour to toward Hot Springs. We'll get to those results and start to look forward, and we'll talk to Marty and James Scully in this hour. Later, Nick Tamaro. We've got cross-country, Belmont, and Woodbine action tomorrow. We'll check in with Ed. We keep missing Ed the last couple of weeks. Ed DeRosa in hour two. Got to talk about Twin Spires. I happened to do one of those updates on the phone. You know, you got like 60 apps that need to be updated, and the Twin Spires app, I want Ed to hit the highlights because it's overhauled and it's got a whole bunch of things going on. And later, Barry Meadow with one of the visits, the skeptical horse player. We've been promising some intervals with Barry, and got a chance to, after missing him really through the summer because of my situation with the eye, I didn't really get him on, and we've been going back and forth, and I said, how about today? And also waiting for a confirmation of a Ron Gierkink visit. It's Woodbine Mile, so, and Ron did a tremendous amount of work on the advances and the handicapping, and I'd love to get Ron on, expecting him in the third hour as well. So lots to do. Really, Churchill and Woodbine, the focus. I do want to mention, before we get to the news and back to your thrilling updates on CHRB and everything you want to know about Jimson Weed, the Stronach 5, which we really have not had a chance to pay much attention to on Fridays, and just the fact that we really never really talk about it, kind of relates to, and remember Johnny and I talked about the Friday as the date for it, you know, it's spot on the calendar, and whether, you know, whether it was a good place for focus. Well, there's a carryover today from last week, and that is very attractive. And the sequence actually is, it looks worth looking at. And 96,000 in the carryover kitty, and you know the thing is a low 12% takeout number. There's a lot to like about this kind of opportunity. You got to figure they'll bet at least five times into it, so another $500,000 probably, and maybe more. Maybe more. I think with Churchill opening, people will be looking at, and that's a terrific card, by the way, well in advance here of talking to Marty and the guys. There's the second half of the card is really good. The opportunity, though, if you're going to look at it, and maybe we'll get a chance at some point to touch on it, but it starts with the Laurel 8th, then it goes to Gulfstream the 7th, Golden Gate the 4th, the Laurel 9th, and the Gulfstream 9th. So you might want to look at this. 5-12 starts it off with that Laurel 8th. It's a 12-5 claimer, turf sprint, 10 horses. Then it goes to Gulfstream for a Florida bred allowance, 8 of them, also a turf dash. Then to Golden Gate, starter allowance, field of 10, 5 on the turf, so 3 straight turf sprints, and then back to Laurel for a mile and a 16th on the grass, fillies and mares, optional claiming, and similar conditions, field of 10, and it closes out with the Gulfstream 9th, a maiden special, 5 furlong turf sprint, and a field of 12. With quite a few first-time starters, so this is a serious sequence. If you like a challenge, so between 5:12 and 6:30, so 90 minutes, you can play these five, and there's going to be a nice pot, and even potentially a bit of a positive expectation. We need Marshall Graham for that kind of numerical analysis. So I wanted to, because I missed that Tuesday. I missed the opportunity to tell everybody about the Prairie Meadows carry. Regarding yesterday, after we talked, of course, to Alan Foreman and laid out, you know, some of the mechanics of what was seemingly involved in the CHRB and the scopolamine. Positive, a lot more detail for journalists that like to trade in actual detail. Matt Hegarty and Bill Finley and Frank Angst doing the diligence and getting and rounding up all the storylines. And you know, there's a million moving parts and you know, very few of them that, you know, are heartening by any stretch. I mean, CHRB it is laying out, including Chuck Winter with a, you know, the former CHRB head, and he laid out his view and what the mechanics were in terms of the protocols. Matt Hegarty detailing that. Very specifically, supporting comments from Dr. Arthur, the people who were saying why was there only Justify if there was gypsum in feed? Well, there was another 6. There were another 6 positives, and you know, varying degrees of trace amount and threshold positives. Dr. Scalay explained, you know, some of the details. You know, I made reference yesterday to atropine, the importance of atropine showing up in tests, because if there is contamination from gypsum, both atropine and scopolamine will show up because they're naturally occurring in the plant. If atropine doesn't, then that's a sign that there actually was product, something that, you know, scopolamine is used in medically. And the fact that atropine also shows up in the Cal Davis lab tests pretty much makes it 100% an issue involving gypsum. And CHRB is going to say that, you know, this is how they handled it for these reasons and because these kinds of issues, contamination issues, because of the way they typically drag out, there was no, from their perspective, the way they handled it, and people can judge it however they're going to judge it. And, you know, internally, within industry confines, you know, these are discussions that have gone on for a long time. The external portion of this is impossible for the general public to understand. And so the damage that, and the intention of damage that seemed to be, you know, wanting to be done seems to have been accomplished. So congratulations to, you know, those that wanted to, you know, make sure to create as negative an impression about the sport as possible. You've achieved that. And, everybody's going to judge this how they want to. We'll just report the story from here. Weekend preview, we'll preview. That's the objective. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to head to the break. Marty McGee is going to join us and talk about the start of the Churchill season. Couple of notes, if you didn't see this. Monomoy Girl has got a glute strain, and her chances of making the Breeders' Cup are over. However, the positive, the upside, is that she's coming back. She's going to come back and run as a five-year-old. Liz Crowe, representing the ownership team, and Brad Cox and everybody, explaining yesterday. So that's too bad. But she's going to miss apparently like 10 days after, you know, really having turned in a couple of sharp works. So unfortunately, it'll just mean it's not feasible. The sale resumes today. And from here on in, I was going to say, I had Wheaties, as a matter of fact, this morning. You better eat your Wheaties, because 350 or so horses will sell today and tomorrow. Then 400 from there on in. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So the next 10 days, up and down the hill at Keeneland, pulling yearlings out of the stalls and giving them the once over. And based on what we had yesterday with Brian DiDonato and, you know, our conversation today and tomorrow, certainly book two, every expectation that you'll have some big numbers. The difference between books one and two, you still have, as Brian laid out, there's still plenty of stallion power. The dam side, you know, there aren't as many, you know, there'll be black type mares in there on the dam side, but not as high profile. Not there isn't necessarily Leslie's Lady type babies in book two, but there'll be some very attractive, and then physical. You fold in some sire power and some nice physicals that elevate the interest and get a couple of people on the same yearling, and you know, suddenly a $200,000 yearling is a $500,000 yearling. So noon today again, and straight through till next Sunday. So good luck to everybody at the sale. Marty McGee joins us next, kicking it off. Weekend preview at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Horseville.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horseville.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horseville.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horseville.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the song on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, coming up on 20 into hour one. Marty McGee standing by. Good morning.
Bick.
Yo, yo.
What's happening, Bick?
Making the transition, and you talked about transition in your Churchill Meet Advance piece. Before we do that, though, we got to wrap up Kentucky Downs, and yesterday, a nice and interesting mix of winners, including the stakes action, the Ramsey, Gentle Ruler, Morsha's Stable for Ian Wilkes and son-in-law Chris Landeros, and then Legends of War with Rafael Bejarano, who's been making more and more successful returns to the bluegrass, Marty. This for Doug O'Neill and CTR and partners. And that was a pretty dominant win considering he was 24-1.
Yeah, he paid $49.40, and it was an all-Doug exacta. And, you know, speed really, I'm not going to say it dominated every race, but it dominated a lot of races at Kentucky Downs. And I guess one of the factors in play was we haven't had rain here in Kentucky for almost 3 weeks. So I guess that all those horses were hearing their feet rattle. But General Ruler did come from off the pace. It was a terrific ride, I thought, by Chris Landeros to kind of just sit there and save ground the way he did. And, it was a good end to what was, once again, a terrific meet. They handled more than $41 million, which, again, is a record at Kentucky Downs. It's more than $8 million a day. And purse average was $230,000 a race, and that is not a misprint, Vic. Hmm. And so they're going for. I wrote a little something that's in the. I guess it's in today's racing form about how Kentucky Downs wants to extend to 7 dates next year, which does not seem unreasonable. I think they're going to add an extra weekday. They've only run on Thursdays during the week so far, and maybe add one of the Labor Day weekend dates. Hopefully negotiate that from Ellis, because my gosh, they've given him $5 million in purse money at least the last couple of years. So hopefully that's doable. So we'll probably, you would think, have a 7 day meet next year, and onward and upward for the folks in South Central Kentucky at Kentucky Downs.
You know, a couple of other notes. I've got all 5 days, all 50 races, and I do want to chew through it at some point. The way it finished, you know, you mentioned horses on the front end, that Alfie Solomons. I had Byron on yesterday, who, you know, I'm sure you got word that he starts at Blood Horse today.
I was the first guy he told. So, yeah.
I imagine. You only worked with him for 20 straight years. Then you had how about Shug with a winner, and that horse looked good, that Enola Gay.
That horse was flying down the lane. Do you see what I did there, Vic? Enola Gay was flying. But anyway, yeah, I went back and looked up Shug's record at
Kentucky Downs.
Yeah, he's three for seven now. So
wow.
we don't have some of the big new, you know. Most conspicuously, we don't have Chad running down here. So Todd sends some, and Shug will send one or two. And, of course, Mott is here in Kentucky anyway, but Clemana will send a couple. But I don't know why Chad doesn't run here. I guess he wants to support the New York program, which is, you know, go ahead with yourself. But, yeah, I mean, the money is just so unreal. It's surreal at Kentucky Downs, and that obviously entices the likes of Jose Ortiz, who's the leading jockey on the heels of his Saratoga riding crown. And yesterday we had Javier Castellano here for the first time. Rosario was a regular. Joe Bravo, you know, you just on down the line. So it's been quite the magnet for the big-timers. They fly into Nashville and make the 40-mile drive up north up 65, and there they are out in the big field.
Well, got to mention, too, Eddie Keneally with two more wins, and Keneally's name is going to come up plenty when we turn our attention to Churchill as well. Eddie Keneally's having a tremendous year, not so quietly at this point.
Yeah, I talked to him about 6:30 this morning. He's got that filly back in off an eight-month-plus rest, Girls Knows Best. And Girls Know Best, and she's running against the boys in a turf sprint allowance for $105,000 here at Churchill on Sunday. And the reason he went ahead and ran her against the boys is because he's getting a prep into her before the Franklin County, which is on October 11th at Keeneland. I don't know if he has Breeders' Cup designs with her. I would guess not. But she's a really fast filly, and she's been off. Oh, she's a five-year-old mare, actually. But she's been off since late December. She was going to run in that Pegasus Day race at Gulfstream late January, which she won in 2018. But Eddie said she came out with a real minor splint issue, and that forced her to the sidelines. But she's coming back on Sunday. And like you said, Eddie's having a terrific year, and he kind of flies under the radar, Steve. A lot of these guys, him and Joe Sharp, who are, you know, multi-pronged in terms of their where they had their horses and stuff. So it's been a very profitable year for both those guys, actually.
Well, and I just, after we had had the conversation going into the meet, and I also, you know, between Byron and Hammer, one thing that was fascinating about the Kentucky Downs season, you know, Mike Maker ultimately won three races, but 14 seconds, 14 in 50 races.
Who, Maker did?
48 starts. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he only won three, and, I mean, you took a beating. You took a beating if you were betting on Mike Maker to win, but, you know, he won the $1 million race, so nobody's crying.
That's
for
true.
So, no. He won that with the Zulu Alpha, who he led, did not claim, by the way. I was castigated on Twitter for making blunders. And for the record, Johnny Ortiz claimed that from Michael Hoy. That's how you say his name, is Hoy.
Yes, yeah.
I would assume he's the guy who actually says, let's claim this horse, and then he assigns a certain trainer to do it. So it's kind of a moot point. But anyway, Maker won the race for Hoy with Zulu Alpha. So, yeah, no benefits being thrown for Mike Maker these days.
Well, and Wesley Ward had a good meet, very good meet, 4 wins, 3 seconds from 15 starters, and seems to be, you know, heading into the fall, and of course Keeneland around the corner after this Churchill meet. Let's turn our attention. We'll say goodbye to the Kentucky Downs season until next August, and we'll move our tack to Louisville. Talk about you know, rolling into this meet, and you know, you addressed how the calendar you know has changed, and you used the, you know, the potential for new Latonia to be part of the landscape as the backdrop.
Yeah, it just kind of reminded me, you know, writing about and hearing about Churchill wanting to get a stronger foothold in the Northern Kentucky region for their ever-expanding gambling empire by way of a racetrack through the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission. That's on the books, or that's in the plans, and reminded us all that it was a similar bombshell happened back in 2013 when Churchill took over the what had traditionally been the Turfway dates in September, and this has become inarguably a terrific meet. It's 11 days. It starts today. We go 3 days this weekend. Then we go 4 and 4 Thursday through Sunday the next 2 weeks. A lot of important action to come here, Steve, not only with 8 stakes, including 4 tomorrow, but we've also got a lot of 2-year-old racing. I think Kevin Kirstein with Churchill documented there was something like 300-and-something 2-year-old works on one day or maybe one weekend at either Churchill and Trackside. So the 2-year-old races that were very prominent at Ellis will continue here at Churchill, and I assume on through Keeneland too.
Well, and it's funny that you mentioned specifically that how the 2-year-old, you know, the 2-year-old action, tough to, you know, tough to turn away from. And that even includes today when the card, you know, the first card gets started before we look at Saturday. I did want to mention that 7th race today, you've got some notable siblings, and that includes Brad Cox sending out the second-time starter Cruising Along. And this is 1 mile for 2-year-old fillies. Cruising Along, a half to Wilburn, and you've also got Love and Pride's daughter, Princina Julia, 8-1 for Asmussen, second-time starter as well. And there's a horse on the AE list that needs to be noted, Kara Katerina, Marty, the 13, and this one may not go today, but keep an eye on. This is out of Pilfer, the dam, of course, of To Honor and Serve and Angela Renee.
Yeah, I mean, you can look up and down. I think yesterday at Kentucky Downs there was a half-brother or sister to World of Trouble. I mean, it's all over the place anymore. Yeah. You see all these rich pedigrees here in Kentucky, where you know, 10 years ago, you only saw them in, or mostly only saw them in California and New York.
Well, tomorrow, things, you know, we mentioned the stake sequence. Let's start with the headliner. And obviously, I cannot remember, Marty, so much interest and excitement, really, over a two-year-old, you know, making a third start. And, of course, the first start for Dennis's Moment was a hair-raising disaster, dropping Alvarado and having to be captured. But talk about Dennis's Moment coming into tomorrow.
Well, it's like Kenny McPeak told me yesterday. He goes, are we going to go ahead and, or a couple days ago, are we going to go ahead and coronate him and make him the Derby winner or what? Or are we going to go ahead and run these races first? So, I mean, Dale is over the moon with him. That's kind of typical of Dale. I mean, he likes to talk about these horses at this stage of their life, and the comparisons are apt, you would think, with the horse that got hurt 2 years, what was his name, Steve? 3 years ago or 2 years ago, the Albaugh horse who was second.
Not This Time.
Yeah, Not This Time. The comparisons are apt to Not This Time, who was, you know, a big second in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and then a week later, so, you know, Dale had to announce that he was retired because he got hurt. But, yeah, I mean, they're bringing Irad Ortiz in here. Both he and Jose are riding on the card here tomorrow. As a matter of fact, Jose is riding here today. And I guess they made him 8-5 or so on the line, maybe 9-5. And he's gonna be 3-5 or 4-5, you would think, with all the hype. So I'm excited to see him run, because I just kind of like when Dale has a good horse, because he's fun to be around and everything. So you know, it's not going to be any bargain. I guess if you're inclined to think he's a cinch, go on and single him and the multis. By the way, there is not a pick four on all stakes tomorrow, those being races 7-10. If you're going to go multi, you got to go 7-11 on a pick five, or slice it up into pick threes, or the single six runs from races 6-11. But there is not a 7-10 pick four tomorrow.
Flesh out a few more out of this Iroquois.
Well, I mean, Roddy Yates, he's the only stakes winner in the field. He was pretty good in winning the Ellis Juvenile. Steve Asmussen all has Zyramid in there for the Zayats. Juggernaut was tremendous at a huge number in his first and only at Ellis. I know that Keith DeSorm was excited about him. McPeak has a couple in there in Flute Maker and January 1. And Lebda, the very intriguing wild card coming in from Maryland for one of their top trainers, Claudio Gonzalez. So it's a pretty deep field. If you didn't have all the hype about Dennis's Moment, let's say, like, you weren't allowed to talk about it the way that this horse has been talked about, you know, the odds might be less lopsided than what they figure to be.
Now, there's a few, you know, there's a few interesting players on the fringes too. Let Me Know, the runner-up to Rowdy Yates in that Ellis Juvenile for Randy Block and Ian Wilkes, the Twirling Candy colt. Scabbard, the horse that was renamed from Noose, who was a good second to Green Light Go in the Saratoga Special. You know, there's things going on here beyond the, you know, the very imposing looking favorite.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a good race, but again, you're gonna have a 3-5 or 4-5, deserve it or not.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the girls' race and the Pocahontas, which is actually a grade two, and the Iroquois is a grade three. We'll see if that group can, you know, help elevate the Iroquois on equal footing. And I think it's hard not to talk about L&J Foxwoods, who seem to be just, you know, hitting on all cylinders, not to mention putting their hands up at the sale. Portrait, the Tapizar filly coming out, Alice.
Well, she's one of the two Brad Cox fillies entered in here. Brad told me yesterday that British Idiom, the seven horse, will scratch, which kind of surprised me because Irad is named on her. But anyway, that would reduce the field to eight. You often have to think, why would a guy – why does a guy like Brad Cox have a horse like Portrait at Ellis as opposed to Saratoga? And so maybe, you know, everybody doesn't have a great gauge on these horses to begin with. So she did win off by a pole in that race at Ellis, and I guess she will be favored in here. That we've got 3-1 morning line co-favorites, which I don't recall ever having seen at many tracks, including Churchill. But Portrait 3-1 on the line with Morning Gold for McPeak. Morning Gold has the advantage of having two-turn races behind her. I think she has a major edge in here, and I think that Morning Gold's going to be definitely the horse to beat in here.
Also, a lot of Tapiture filly for Steve Asmussen, Corrales Racing, and Dane Kubisky shows up with one of these Mid-Atlantic invaders, and you know the Colonial obviously uses that the double wide turf course to great extent, you know, even this introductory meet. But this was a Colonial maiden breaker on dirt, and probably hard to know exactly what Kubisky is bringing here in Blood Curdling, who is kind of a cutely named filly out of the Street Cry mare Shriek.
That is clever. It's for the PTK folks and yes. Corey Lannery, who doesn't, you know, he had a solid meet at Ellis, but he kind of gets lost at Kentucky Downs for whatever reason. I'm not talking about the way he rides, but just he doesn't have some of the top contenders at Kentucky Downs. But when they come back to Churchill, he has a lot of live ones. So very intriguing, kind of unknown here in Blood Curdling.
The other two stakes beside the two-year-old action, you do have the Locust Grove, the mile and a 16th. And this kind of brought together a bit of an eclectic group with starters coming from Ellis and Thistledown and Monmouth and Saratoga. And it's kind of a weird agglomeration here.
Well, I've got to kind of recuse myself here, Steve, because I'm a big big in on Go Google Yourself. She's really come to hand. She won the Ellis Showcase race, the Groupie Doll, quite impressively. Got her career high buyer in that. But I thought that Escape Clause is really an interesting horse. The Manitoba bred. I'm sure you've had discussions about her before, but this is her seventh different racetrack here of the year. And she ran pretty good behind My Lady Curlin at Thistledown. That's kind of the cluster of favorites, is the two Brad Coxes, those being My Lady Curlin and the beaten odds on favorite, and the Groupie Doll, that being Moonlit Garden. Those are the two Coxes. Then you've got Escape Clause for Don Schnell, and Go Google Yourself for Samantha Siegel and my brother.
There's a lot of experienced and polished mares in here, and you know, Don Schnell with Escape Clause, who you know, won in March and then has, you know, basically faced the heavy heads and has really done okay. I mean, her form is kind of dirtied up in here. What is she on the line? I never even looked at the morning line for this race.
They got My Lady Curlin 5-2, My Lady Curlin 5-2 and co second choices in Go Google Yourself and Escape Clause.
Interesting.
At 3-1. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, My Lady Curlin, what is she?
She's won five in a row. You know, conspicuous by her absence is Blue Prize, who Ignacio thought about running in here, but he's pretty much committed to the Spencer, then the Breeders' Cup, and with that race at Saratoga she won. To have a fourth race in the mix here, he just didn't want to do that. But clearly, if Blue Prize had been here, she'd be even money-ish or so.
You know who's a goofy price in here?
Go ahead.
The outside horse, Rose of Malibu, with coming in from Remington for C.R. Trout.
Well, I mean, you can bet all you want, Vic.
I just kind of just you know, just kind of caught my eye. Rick Hiles used to have that horse, and you know what caught my eye was that allowance win going back to last September, the last start for Hiles, and she's one for one at Churchill, and that'll come back and come into play very often. When they like Churchill, they like Churchill. Let's talk about the Open Mind. We've got the fillies and mares going three quarters, and you caught me off guard yesterday because I had not heard about Buff Bradley and his heart surgery. So I sent out best wishes to Buff, who is as adored as any horseman in the country.
Yeah, he's got numbers one and two in here, Divine Queen and Upset Brewing. So I texted him early yesterday morning, and he didn't respond. So I texted him again an hour or two later, and he didn't respond. So finally I called him because I just thought his horses were pretty interesting in this race. And his voice is real weak. He goes, yeah, I'm in the hospital. I'm not feeling too good. I said, well, what's going on? He said, I had heart surgery on Tuesday. So this was yesterday. So it was, you know, 48 hours later or whatever. And I said, man, you are too young for that. He's 55. And he said, yeah, that's what I told the doctors, too. But he said that, you know, without me prying too deeply, he said it was a little problem that he thinks they corrected and he's going to go on. So I don't know if that means a defibrillator or what, if he has a, you know, fibrillation or whatever the deal is. But hopefully they got it corrected. My Twitter blew up because of, you know, just putting that out there.
Yep.
Because that Buff, you know, he's you could almost write a book about him with the brass hat and groupie doll and Devisa Darrow and you know, his dad and everything else. So he's just really it would be easy to, I mean, it would be difficult to dislike Buff because he's just such a nice guy.
Well, and Upset Brewing is a filly that he talked about with us when she was, I think, a two-year-old. And she, you know, she has shown, and she is great at stake placed. She has shown some talent, but it just, I don't know. It seemed as a four-year-old, she did not, you know, kind of go forward. I don't, you know, she's one for eight, got four other board hits, but she doesn't seem like she's gotten better this year.
Well, I've sucked in on her too, you know. And,
yeah.
Divine Queen, she's three for four at Churchill.
Yep.
And Buff also made mention that Upset Brewing likes Churchill too.
Yes,
so
he does.
I think it'd be pretty popular win if he won the race. Meadow Dance, by the way, is coming out. She's going to scratch. She's going to run a set against three-year-olds only at Charlestown. Honey Bunny, her form went a little awry. I don't know about her. My pick in there is actually America's Tale, even though she's been offered 5 months. I think she, fresh off the layoff, she's gonna be sharp and forward from an outer post. So, and she's got Jose. So, I'm going with America's Tale, and wouldn't mind though if one of the Buffs won.
I'll mention Honey Bunny and expand on her for a minute because she went to Presque Isle to try the prep for the Masters, and did not seem to take really to the synthetic. So I wouldn't hold that against her. And I don't blame Ortiz for trying, because earlier in her career she was okay on the turf. So I get it. I get why he tried. But don't be put off by, you know, by that trouncing she took in Erie. She's okay, and she's won at Churchill as well. And you get Giroux in here coming aboard, I think, for the first time, and at least first time on the page. And Honey Bunny's okay, and any of her good races. I mean, she ran into Minute to Stardom, who blitzed the Honorable Miss over here at Saratoga, and she's kept good company. And you know, Awestruck, too. I guess we can't miss a chance to talk about Rusty.
He's had his best year ever. He's like $3 million plus, the most he's ever made in 40 something years as a trainer. So
we've been noting. I mean, he's been just tremendous. How about a couple of maiden notes for everybody? Marty in the fourth tomorrow. The Leblancs, Joanne and Alex, send out Bank, a Bernardini colt out of Speed Succeeds. And that name jumped off the page at me because she was the dam of Brilliant Speed for Mrs. Weber, as well as Super Speedy. So nice siblings for Bank, and certainly seems to be working steadily. Moquette had a very quiet summer, and it feels like he's poised to kind of jump back in at the quarter pole for the last third of the year.
Moquette, not Moquette.
There you go. And I got to mention a horse, too. Cavalry Charge is 8-1, folks. And those of you that are dutiful listeners, you undoubtedly wrote this name down when Dallas Stewart brought up this Honor Code colt earlier this summer. How about a 59-4 Bullet preparing for his debut?
Duly noted.
8-1. Get you some, Marty.
Go on with your bad self, Dick. I got to run, buddy.
All right. Always great. Marty McGee, everybody. And as Marty takes his leave, I'll mention a couple of other siblings, and we'll go to the break and come back with James Scully. Ian Wilkes is sending out Falkirk in that same fourth race. They're going three quarters. This is a Cairo Prince out of Cranberry Sauce. Do you remember Myositis Dan? That was the Airdrie product that Proctor trained for Brary Jones. And Myositis Dan introduced, it's an affliction, basically, myositis. And Proctor explained what Brary had told him, that because I asked about the name, Myositis Dan. So this is a half, and Myositis Dan was okay. Stanley Huff shows up, too, with the Sagamore, not a homebred, but a Sagamore two-year-old in training sale purchase in March, an Algorithms colt, South Bend. Lots of, a couple of stake winners involved in that dam, that old Trieste dam. South Bend. Did Kevin Plank go to Notre Dame? Is that a hand tip? And then in the fifth tomorrow at Churchill, In the Deep for Bob LaPenta and Brad Cox. This is a Pioneer of the Nile colt that is a half to Azar. So has every right to go long on the turf like Azar did, who, of course, was by Scat Daddy. In the Deep. Let's see what we get on a morning line. In the Deep, 3-1. But Cavalry Charge. We'll see what Scully's got for you for Churchill opener. James Scully next. Weekend preview at the races. Nick Tamaro, Ron Gierkink, Ed DeRosa, Barry Meadow. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the song on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky, or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through HorseBills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-9000. 938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Open up your heart, what do you feel? Open up your heart, what do you feel?
Back at the races, 10 minutes to the top of the hour. Thanks to Marty for getting the Churchill season started. I'm sure Scully has taken a deep dive as well. James, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Yes, I'm definitely looking forward to the weekend racing. I'll be up there Saturday working with Joe Christofek and Ed DeRosa at the races. And a couple really strong cards to start the 11-day session.
I mentioned that today, you know, I just brought up a maiden name, but the card itself is really strong. And the back end of it, in particular, for pick four, pick five players, I thought was eye-popping. I had hoped to take a shot and get some work done on it, but there was just too much going on. And so I didn't look at Friday. But, I mean, to give everybody an idea, the late pick four starts with a full field of maidens, two-year-old fillies going a mile, then allowance, six on the dirt for fillies and mares, a mile and a 16th on the main, second-level allowance, there's 10 in that six-furlong race, there's 12 in this, with a lot of familiar names, including Hawakam, who has got to be 26 by now. Then you close it out with a nice seven furlong, three and up maiden special with some horses that, you know, should have already broken their maiden. So that's just the pick four, 12 by 10 by 12 by 12. If you want to play the pick five, it starts with a $150,000 optional claimer, which includes a bunch of stake horses.
There's like seven stakes winners or something, or five,
yeah.
You know, maybe six of the eight are stakes winners. You got a grade one runner up, Recruiting Ready was the favorite in the grade one, Bing Crosby. So really, that race is really competitive. No doubt about the, just with the purses going up, I think up 57%, the product has improved this year. We really saw it at Saratoga, especially with on the main track, horses shipping up there from Kentucky. And I just think, like you referenced those maidens, I mean, you can look at these work tabs on these horses, and they're working in like July and, you know, August. And, you know, I'm seeing like sometimes, a minimum of like 50 works every day at a half mile distance. And, you know, it's potentially like 150, 200 horses a day launching works. And in Darren Rogers' release for the meet, opening day release, talked about the two-year-old program and said that last week over a seven-day period at Churchill or the training center, 373 two-year-olds logged works. So there's just a ton of horses on the grounds and, looking to race at Churchill this fall.
Yeah. You got anything for Friday before we talk about tomorrow?
I'll tell you, I do. I like you referenced that race, that $105,000 allowance. And, you know, there's a lot of question marks about the, you know, I think he hate me, you know, looks solid in there, but I like Colonel's Dark Temper. That horse broke a 14-race losing streak last time, cut back to one-turn distance after racing in a mile or on turf or longer. I think he has good tactical speed. He's going to get a good trip under John Court. And I just think he's rounding back into form, almost earned $800,000. Hadn't won since the 2017 West Virginia Derby, but I think that win last time and that Ellis allowance could be a sign of him turning things around. I mean, heck, there was a filly in that Leinster in the Kentucky Downs Turf Sprint last week who lost 13 in a row or 14 in a row and then had reeled off three wins in a row coming into that stake. So I could see Colonel's Dark Temper, not a lot of like blazing speed in there. Like I said, I think he's going to get a favorable trip at a price.
I love it. And I'm just, as you were talking, I was going back and forth in this field. And for those that haven't looked at it yet, so we got 200, 850, 950, call it a million, two million, $2.5 million. You've got just under $3 million in career earnings in this field. And a total of 4, 10, 18, 22, 26, 33, 37 wins between these eight horses. I mean, this is kind of fun. It's just one of those things that you just, you know, everybody clamors. This is really a Saturday race. Amazing that it's, you know, sitting here mid-card on a Friday.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, like you said, it's an open allowance. You know, these races can be hard to fill, and they're, bam, they get a dynamite field right there today in race number six.
That's the magic of Ben Huffman. Pulling out all the stops for your betting pleasure. The other, you know, that second level allowance also has got, as I mentioned, with Hawakam, who's been a personal favorite. He's only nine, by the way. I was exaggerating. Marty didn't say anything about his brother and Samantha Siegel, December 7, who's a four-time winner. And two of those have come at Churchill. You know, one thing that caught my eye in here, Joe Petalino, who we know from Remington. Joe is a shocking 1-for-65 for the year. I mean, it doesn't seem possible, because I mean, he's been winning for years and years and years, so he's run into some stock issues, but. I mean, he's too good to be 1-for-65, but Fort Peck in here for Ian Wilkes and hardly a secret for Amos and Maggie Moss, an old personal favorite, Mississippi that we liked early on in his career. And Ron McQuett has had him now ever since he moved to H&W. Captivating Moon, Chris Block. This is also a what are you doing in here?
You know, I definitely took a look at this hardly a secret. I don't know if it could be 10-1 for Amos and Corey Lannery, but you know, looked like it just in good form. Been real popular at the claim box. I took a look at the number 11 Own Agenda as well. I thought that was a good finish last time after a bad start. If he can avoid being caught too wide on the first turn, I think this colt, he's run well at Churchill, two wins over the track, so appears to be coming in on the upswing for his connections. And, you know, 6-1 on the morning line, the price should be right. So I'll probably give Own Agenda the edge in there, but I'll use some others as well. I mean, Hawakam is a good point. I mean, he was clearly best three back and just had a brutal trip in traffic where he was bouncing off horses and then really just ran into a buzzsaw. I thought that was a pretty good race in late May. You can make the case he just needed that race, and, you know, he thrives at Churchill Downs, so he gets the right pace up there. He's a type, at the very least, to consider like underneath for exotics.
Turn our attention to Saturday. James Scully with us. James underscore Scully 111 on Twitter. And James, we talked with Marty and got a handle on the, you know, his his perspective. He seems very much, I don't want to say resigned, but you know, seems very much simpatico with the, you know, with the obvious player, particularly Dennis's moment. Let's work backwards from the high-profile two-year-old.
Yeah, definitely Dennis's moment. I mean, that was an awe-inspiring performance. But I'll just say this about him. You know, this horse hasn't, the only time this horse has had to deal with, like, any adversity with that first race. I mean, that was a 50-to-1 long shot that drifted over and cut him off on the turn. But he was still like three lengths behind that long weekend. It was 8-to-5 and crushed him, you know, once he lost the rider. So it wasn't the cleanest trip. And I just have a little concern because he was like a length clear, you know, strides out of the gate, had everything his own way. I just wonder if he gets caught up like in fourth or fifth in traffic, if he'll just settle nicely, because there's a ton of speed in this race. I think as opposed to the Pocahontas, the Iroquois has some real, like, confirm. I just think Zeramid, after that race, I think they got to send him from the rail. I think, you know, Rowdy Yates, you know, will be up there for sure. Juggernaut looks like, you know, off of that was a real strong pace he set that day at Ellis. And even Lepta, you know, could show some pace. I thought that was a pretty brilliant performance last time by that Delaware shipper for Claudio Gonzalez. So, to me, Dennis's moment can win. But I'm going to go with my top pick being Scabbard, a horse formerly called Noose. I thought that, you know, he got away a step slowly in that Saratoga special, you know, was sort of like inside a trip the whole way behind horses. But once Lannery got him out of the clear, he really finished up well to be a clear second. I think his experience and the hot pace really benefits him. Should love the stretch out and distance with that female family that's like Gone West, Seattle Slough, Aladar in there. And just, you know, I like the way he came home. So if anybody's going to beat Dennis's moment, and I still think he could easily win at 3-to-5 or 4-to-5. No way he's going to be 9-to-5. But I think it's going to be Scabbard. I will mention, though, a long shot in there is number 10, January 1. And I just thought that that was a heady performance for an inexperienced two-year-old making his debut. The PP lines don't give it justice. He basically came off the turn behind a wall of horses. Jose Ortiz geared him to the rail. He then, in mid-stretch, tried to like angle him off the rail, couldn't do it, and looked like he was just going to settle for third, and then he just accelerated, I thought, really nicely between a pair of rivals and went going away. You don't see a lot of unraced two-year-olds do that. The winner came back to win by 3.5 lengths at 3-to-5, Beyond Gone, and this January 1 could be finishing here for Brian Hernandez at a big price.
Well, it's also one of the McPeak, one of Little McPeak angles. He's adding Lasix here in the second start.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I mean, yeah, he's like 20% with a positive ROI with that move. Definitely, I thought that was a positive as well. And you know, he's just going to take back and save ground. So I'm not too worried about him being drawn in far outside post.
Turn to the girls' race and the Pocahontas, the Grade Two. We got a lot of the same, same kinds of storylines. I thought, you know, starting with Portrait, Marty reported that Brad Cox and Michael Dubb and his partners are taking British Idiom out. My guess is that they'll stay in New York and wait for the Demoiselle. So you can cross out British Idiom out of here and. What do you
think? Yeah, I think that's a huge scratch because I think British Idiom would have been tough to beat. I thought that, she's out of a dam. It was a two-turn stakes winner, and that runner-up came back to win by 5. I think her defection, though, also really benefits her stablemate Portrait. It's just like, for me, she may not have beaten, you know, the best field that time, but it was impressive to watch, and I just think Sean Bridgemahan and this filly is going to get the right trip from post three, and they're going to be tough to run down in there. I did take a look at, the Asmussen filly, Lotta Ott, an 8 horse. I think could be sitting like right off her, you know, tracking her in second. And if the three does falter, that eight could be in a good spot turning for home. And then Morning Gold, you know, I'm going to pick her third in that race, but I do respect her chances. You know, another example of a horse that was running on the turf early to go two turns. That female family, you know, she's out of an Indian Charlie mare, but the second dance by Chris S, that's the female family at Seeking the Gold. So I don't have any concerns about her stretching out, you know, here. I mean, because she just looks built for it if you watch her races. So, you know, and going to dirt here. So definitely a race where I like Portrait Wire to Wire, but I definitely would use, if I was spreading, perhaps the 6 Morning Gold and the 8 Lotta Ott as well.
Now, I brought up Blood Curdling to Marty just because you really have no idea what this is, you know, coming out of the Colonial debut. But
and, you know, I didn't mention the one either, Shadowly.
Shadowly.
Real quick. Yeah, because I thought that was, I mean, once again, you know, I thought that was a pretty savvy claim considering the race she ran that day. I thought it was a really sharp performance. And, you know, she's going to be running late. I don't know if she's going to be good enough this second time out to get there, but to seeing her hit the board would be no surprise at all.
How about the prequels, the Locust Grove and the Open Mind?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take a shot at a price in this Locust Grove. I basically thought that all 9 of them could win the race. And I'm going to make a case for number 6, Cosmic Burst. You mentioned Joe Padalini earlier. Donnie Von Himmel, also another trainer, has won a lot of races in the past, having a slow year. I think he has 13 wins in 2019. But this Cosmic Burst, I like her run style in here. I think that third two back at going a one turn mile like was sort of like was a sign of positive things to come, and she's run well off of freshening before, winning a stake race last spring like off of like a similar rest. She's a grade 3 winner. Miguel Mena was the second leading rider during the past meet, the spring meet. And I just, like I said, I think she has an opportunity in a race where obviously Escape Clause, you know, looks pretty formidable. She'll be forward, but I just don't think there's a lot of pace. You know, number 7, Go Google Yourself, will be rallying from off the pace and all look dangerous. But I like 6 Cosmic Burst, Steve.
Yeah, and she feels like she's ready for a breakthrough, a step forward. And if she makes it here, you're right. This is the right time to try. I love that. I love that kind of a try. Nice.
And then in the Open Mind, I do think, you know, I do think like America's Tale and Ascot Day and Headland, you know, should keep it pretty honest. And Upset Brewing, I mean, you can go back and look at that winning colors from her from an inside post. I mean, she ran 21-2 that day. She's going to be winging it from the inside, and she's extremely dangerous, like, underneath at a price. But the horse I like is Honey Bunny, and I just love how she came to form at Churchill Downs last year. This spring, that win in the winning colors was really sharp. She ran a really good race, against Mia Mischief and Kofefi and that Rock Solana. I thought in that honorable miss, you know, she lost her momentum, like cornering so wide that day, and the winner went wire to wire. And then, like, you know, that last race was on to Petta. I'm just drawing a line for it. She come back, looks like she's trained well in preparation for John Ortiz. She showed a real affinity for the track, and she's going to get a favorable setup, I think, at her favorite distance. So I'm going to give her, I'm going to go with her. I like Honey Bunny's races, like I said, and she's my top pick.
I concur. I brought her up with Marty as well, and you know, she's dirtied up just a tiny bit from that trip to Presque Isle. So
I'll make one other race Saturday, Woodbine Mile, Synchrony. I mean, I liked that race last time at a mile, coming off a 2.5 month layoff. You know, hiatus. The last two times he's really been freshened by Stidham. Coming back this year, he won both times a graded stake race. So he runs well fresh. That mile distance isn't, if somebody's going to beat the Philly, you got Stormy, who obviously, you know, absolutely thrived at Saratoga. I think Synchrony has a shot, and he's my pick in the wood by mile.
Excellent. Excellent. James Scully, everybody. And speaking of the Woodbine Mile and the support you get at Twin Spires, Kelly Riley with an extensive, yes, again, another nice set of informative commentary about the not just the Woodbine Mile invaders, but also the imports trying the Northern Dancer. So, Kelly,
and watch
Riley's
that for race. All grade one turf stakes that have European chippers. She does that for all the big races that have Europeans coming in. So dynamite stuff, like you said, from Kelly Riley, Steve.
Gallon Fox on Twitter, and I'll send a link to that piece. Ed's going to join us at the top of hour three, and we're actually going to talk about the completely refashioned Twin Spires app. There's all kinds of bells and whistles going on. If you haven't done the update. James, have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.
Same to you, Steve. Thanks.
James Scully. Top of the hour. Actually, we're 10 minutes in. So let's break. We'll get back with Nick Tamaro, Ron Gierkink from the Forum to talk Woodbine. Nick is going to hit Woodbine as well as part of the cross-country pick five. Nick Tamaro next.